Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker of the Game Brain Podcast, which is a podcast for fellow game nerds like me. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious and lovely Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hi.
Oh, my God. You look just fabulous.
Well, thank you. So do you. We're in our little polo shirts because we just spoke to Miss Kim D of Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah, we had to put on our fanciest polos. I made sure to make my hair look as Jersey-ish as possible by having it go back, James Leonard style. And and here we are. So that interview with Kim D will be out on Friday. And it's going to be a Crappens On Demand. And guess what? This episode is a Crappens On Demand episode. I forgot to hit record on the video, so it's not Crappens On Demand. Back to the show. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrappens, and that way you can watch us. You don't have to just listen to us. And also, if you sign up at Crappens On Demand, you also get access to our Discord community and our bonus episodes. So it's super fun.
So much.
So much. And speaking of so much, it's the season premiere of Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yes. Wow. Welcome back to the Real Housewives of Orange County, everybody who's still here. Now, this is tricky because there's like boycotts going on already of Real Housewives of Orange County. People are not watching or saying they're not going to watch it. People are not wanting us to recap it. There's like a whole thing going on. Well, listen, okay, our controversy is not about us. We are watching these shows. They are Bravo shows. Yeah. Now, sometimes we take we draw a line in the sand. I mean, Kim Zolciak, no ma'am.
Yeah, we don't have to do that because we never really have covered that show. And
we've always had that line in the sand. Yeah. Okay. It's just it's called a taste level. A level of taste.
And I think like Kim Zolciak with her family just spreading the Kim Zolciak pandemic across America.
Littering children all over the country.
We just don't need it. We don't need it. We are drawing a line there. But I was like, oh God, it's Real Housewives of Orange County. You know, Kelly's been so awful with her, like her pandemic denying essentially. And her hating masks. And then there's all this stuff coming out of all these stories that are coming out of Orange County. It feels like all the time, we're like, oh God, how do we even watch this show? I was like, this is going to be a perfectly fine hour of TV, actually. It was fine.
You know, I have to say, after everything we've heard about it, you're right. I mean, there's been so many stories. Kelly's whole new chapter is just, you know, she's dating a Fox News guy now. And then so she's going totally Fox Newsy with all the things she's saying. Like, she's going on her Instagram and being like, mask, you want a mask? I'll wear a mask. And then she puts on a mask as a joke. And then they're like, well, why are you wearing it? You're a hypocrite. She's like, because we don't wear them. And you want to wear a mask? Be a sheep then, sheep. Bah, bah. And she's just, just horrible. And, you know, in today's volatile life that we're all living, we're all still stuck inside with COVID. Well, most of us are, and we're stuck inside with COVID. Or it's terrible. The election's coming up. That's terrible. I mean, you can't have one goddamn conversation that everybody isn't screaming.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And you know, we don't want to do that. We don't. You guys probably can guess how we feel, and we will sometimes, you know, make a line in the sand about it, but I don't want to sit here and talk about that shit. I have to talk about it when I talk to my parents, and when I talk to my grandmother, and when I talk to anybody else about it. I don't want to spend this time doing that. So how are we going to recap this if you've got Fox News Ninny over there, you know, making an ass out of herself? Well, here's what we do. We yell about it, and we scream about it, and we make fun of it, and then we laugh about it, okay? So that's what we're going
to do. Exactly. That is exactly right. Thank you, Ronnie. You said that very well. Very, very well. There's no reason to add on to it. So let's just dive into this crazy episode. The post-Tamra era, post-Vicky era, the post-T TV era. Ooh,
Tamara. I mean, we don't even have eras anymore. It's just post eras. Just okay? Post-eras. We're not even counting things in eras anymore.
So, so the show opens up, and it's like they love doing this. At the beginning of every season, they keep on trying to make it seem like Big Little Lies, and it never works. Where they're like, "Ooh, there's ocean and beaches, but it's quiet and spooky." And we hear this voice that I couldn't place it. I'm assuming it's the new woman. It sounded like
Gina.
That was Gina Keo.
It has to be.
I was
Gina
thinking
Keo.
That I thought at one point it was Gina Keo because I was like, it sort of sounds like a young Angela Lansbury, which is not necessarily what Gina sounds like, but it's what that sounded like. And then I started to like sense some like weird like lilts in some of the words. I thought, is that Gina Keo giving some like some weird like out of body narration?
Oh yeah, it has to be Gina Keo. That's who I thought. I just assumed it was her, but I agree that she is like the Angela Lansbury version of her. She reminded me of the movie Titanic, where it's like the old lady telling the story. It's the old Kate Winslet. She's like, "Oh, it's been 84 years." It's like that is the opening of the season of Real Housewives of Orange County. Gina Keo just sitting there. And, "Oh, it's been 84 years."
And the season finale, Gina Keo is going to climb up onto like a railing and drop a Mackenzie Childs plate into the ocean.
And Slade is going to have to go in after it and just end up dead on an iceberg or whatever. This show, yeah, it's Gina Keo. It's old in my mind. It's old lady Gina Keo saying, "Remember why you love the Real Housewives of Orange County." It's really Lisa Vanderpump now. My mind have changed it. But it's a whole segment of, "Do you remember why you used to love this show?" And she says, "They say the seasons don't change around here, but that's not quite true." And then we just get clips of all these old housewives ghosts.
I know. We see Lori Waring and Gretchen and Vicky and Heather and Alexis, and I think I saw Tammy Knickerbocker in there. Did I maybe see Quinn? I don't remember, but we see them
Vicky,
all.
Vicky, since when do you bring a family van to pick up these people?
There's the winter of friendships past, and we're seeing all sorts of stuff. I couldn't even write them all down because it was just like all this stuff.
Oh, I did. Okay, yeah. So I'll go through it real fast. It's very important to history, guys. Yeah. Okay. So there's the winter for friendships past. Shannon, I had these bracelets made. It's the three amigas, the tres amigas. Woohoo! And there's a spring of new beginnings. And it's from this season, Kelly going, "We're all living in the same neighborhood." And then everybody with their new boyfriends. Gina's getting kissed on the cheek by
the blistering summer of romances ablaze.
Yes. You know, Gina just doubling down on being poor by just going with another poor person, which is ballsy on this show, I have to say. That's
really
a big choice.
It really is. And then, and the autumn harvest of reaping what we've sown. And then you just see Shannon saying, don't you dare. Don't you dare accuse me of something that I did. Don't you dare accuse me of that."
Which is the best line ever. "Don't you dare accuse me of something I did."
Don't accuse me of it. And Bronwyn says, you said it. She says, I did not. I'm flapping.
Windshield wiper hands.
Windshield wiper hands. Feels so good.
And Tamara, "You fucking liar." And then Alexa going, "What's going on right now?" And Vicky saying, "She's liar face. That's what's going on. She's liar face." And then everybody accusing each other of lying over the years. Mm-hmm. And then wine being thrown in Gina's face by Tamara versus this season of Bronwyn getting wine in her face, which is not cool to do to an alcoholic because you can really trigger their... It's like slipping, you know, it's like, whoops, slip some alcohol into your punch. Sorry. You don't just throw alcohol. It's like throwing a cigarette at me. You don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Take it from me. Each season of Orange County is unlike the last. Well, I can't take it from you because I don't know who's speaking right now. I think it's Gina. I can sort of sense that she... Like, I got the feeling like whoever was talking right now was just yelled at by her adult son. But I couldn't confirm that. So I thought it was Gina.
I'm saying Gina. I'm going with Gina. I'm going to bet $500 on it. Ben, take it.
Okay. All right. And then the narrator goes, "And the seasons don't just turn." And then you just see Kelly with a giant Jenga thing going, "Oh!" And the Jenga falls over. I was like, "Oh, seasons don't just turn. Jenga towers fall over too. Wow. This is scary."
It's a Jenga falling over, and then it cuts to Bronwyn's face, who's all bandaged up from a facelift or something, like all drugged out of her mind, you know, and wearing a shirt that says "I'm in no shape," which probably has something on the bottom, but I want that shirt. I just wanted to say I'm in no shape.
Yeah, and then the narrator goes, "They change us forever," as in the seasons change them forever. I was like, "Damn, that was a really intense Jenga game." Wow, I was like, we had a Jenga game, and it hasn't been the same ever since.
Yeah, apparently Kelly has discovered old games. Yeah. She's discovered the game aisle at Target, because we get an Uno card set today, and we see her playing Jenga. Is life far behind, guys?
Well, you know what? The next fight she gets into, she's just going to lift up, "Sorry, I'm sorry," just holding it up. "I'm sorry.
Do not pass go. Do not collect every dollar.
You don't have a monopoly on me. You don't have a monopoly on me. Sorry I got into trouble.
What are you coming over here like a little dog? A little metal dog? Shut up, Thimble!"
So, yeah, and then we see Gina say, "I promise you, this will kill you."
And Bronwyn's like, "I'm losing it, Sean. I'm cracking, Sean." So then, quiet. The ghouls are squeaking. Ghouls. And then we hear like some weird new, I guess their new music this year is like trying to be hip and urban, and it's hilarious because it's Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying with that music. And then just to get that it's a new season of energy, we see like a 45-year-old man on roller skates do a jump and twirl.
Yeah. And then we're at Shannon's new house, and there's like a whole bunch of giant dogs chasing after balls. And then this is my favorite thing, Shannon convincing us that she is just having the time of her life. She's just cooking. She's like, "Oh, I think that chicken looks done. Oh, my God. Oh, the chicken's done. I'm so happy. I'll tell you who's not done. This one. I'm not done. Oh, I'm not done. Oh,
I'm not done being happy. I am happy."
Oh, new boyfriend, John. Look, it's my new boyfriend. His name is John. He looks a little bit like Al Gore, but not quite.
He looks a lot like Al Gore. He looks like Al Gore with a cold, like just squeezing, like kind of squeezed his nose.
Al Gore meets Nathan Fillion.
I wouldn't give him Nathan Fillion. I'm not sure how I feel about him yet. Nathan Fillion's pretty fucking fine, so I'm going to stick with the pinch-nosed Al Gore.
Okay, all right.
And Shannon is like, "Oh, the chicken's ready. It's in the fridge. I called the oven, the refrigerator."
The chicken's ready. I mean, I'm at the stovetop. Does this look like chicken? It's not chicken. It's in the oven. Oh, God, we have so many hijinks when he thinks this pot is the chicken. Oh, God. Now he's opening up the oven. Oh, he just got burned by the heat. He didn't realize it was hot. Oh, I haven't stopped laughing. Oh.
And you know she's just wanting to scream that she... I mean, look, you finally get a double oven. Who doesn't love a double oven? Mm-hmm. You know? I didn't even understand the plight of a double oven until this show, because remember when Brianna wanted one? And I was like, who needs a double oven? You don't need a double oven. That's ridiculous. And now, of course, I'm like, double ovens. I want one.
Yeah, double oven would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so she has a double oven, but it's like stuck in this hallway because the design of this house, I'm sorry, but this is some design fail in this house. Actually, the whole house, okay? Didn't like it. There's a double oven in like a weird tight hallway. You have to walk into a separate hallway to get the stuff out of the oven. Well, it's ridiculous. It's terrible design. Haven't you heard of the triangle of utility in the kitchen? You have to have a sink and it goes, the other triangle point is the fridge, and the other triangle point is the oven and the stove.
Well, okay. Maybe you are not aware that there is a new season in Orange County, and in Orange County, we do not have a triangle of utility. We have now invented walk-in ovens, and they work like walk-in refrigerators, except you die if you walk in them. Ha! Oh, God, but they're so useful. So useful.
One of the ovens is named Hansel, and the other is named Gretel.
The best part is knowing that this exact same scene would have played out if it had been David and not John. This entire scene, it could have played out exactly the same, except it would have been like, well, the chicken's ready. This isn't the chicken. Oh, I'm sorry, dear. Let me go to the chicken. And he opens up the oven and a burst of hot air. Oh, well, you just let the air out of the oven and now the chicken's probably ruined, but that's fine. It's fine. 3 to 40 negative thoughts. David just ruined the chicken for the fourth time.
David just burnt his face on the chicken. Wow, David. Wow.
David never used to look at the chicken before. I wonder what's changed.
So about 8 months ago, I was out with one of my friends, and she introduced me to John. And he came up to me, and he said, I am into you. And then we sang karaoke, and we shut the place down. We've been together every day since, but we are not living together.
Because in their new testimonials, you know, it's the time of COVID, so everybody has to do this, I guess, in their oven closet is where she's doing this. I don't know where she's doing it, but it's a very tight space. And I think she's using a fish angle lens.
Yeah, when she came in, it was weird. It was like, felt like very three. It felt like when the guy came out of the painting in Ghostbusters 2.
Yes, it's like a 3D IMAX, but it's just Shannon's hands. You're like, why did I pay $35 to see this? Her hands like come all the way up to the camera right yes. in your face. God, I need to get my nails done. Those are pathetic.
Me too, look how long my hair. Look at that.
Ew, and you have a little poop thing in yours.
Yeah, a little piece of dirt.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna finish this recap now and go do our nails. Bye.
I wish. I meant to do my nails this morning, but I forgot.
Oh, God, I put crumbs in a water top. Because I was gathering all the crumbs on my desk. I ate crackers today. And then I put them in, like, this little water top. And I started playing with it for fun because I was worried about my nails. And now I've got crumbs all over my desk.
I can't stop laughing. It's just there's so much joy in the household now. So he walked up to me and he says, only you can stop forest fires. And I said, well, you're not. You're pretty smoking yourself. And I realized I was looking at an ad. And it wasn't a human. But then I turned around and I met John. It was great.
It's so funny watching these straight relationships this year. I mean, we're used to it. It's not like something new that, well, look, we're watching a straight relationship. But, you know, Shanna's got a bunch of new kids because her new guy has three kids, too. And then Gina's new guy has three kids, yeah. too. And they're all having to blend all these new kids. And like in the gay world, you start dating someone and you just have to start blending all the people that you've both fucked on Grindr.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have to like introduce everybody at a party and
yeah, yeah.
It's like that. But, yeah. You know.
Exactly. Except with kids.
Grosser.
But not. Yeah. Yeah, yeah exactly. So we see Shannon's new home. So she had to buy a home because her old home that she was renting sold. So we get like a little swoop and we see her exercise room and it's basically like an elliptical machine and I think like a treadmill and then like a giant painting of Shannon. And I was like, it's like, I don't know if I want to look at a giant oil painting of my face when I'm working out.
Isn't that
out.
Funny? It's very Bette Midler in Beaches.
Yeah.
You know how she has like big paintings of herself everywhere?
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, or like my hat, or like my room. Look right behind me is a painting of Shannon with a bowl on her head. You see,
there it is.
So this we have a wacky kids blending family scene coming up. So Sophie's like, Mom, we need to talk. I did a thing today, and she's like, what do you mean you did a thing today? Please don't tell me you married Jesus again. I'm not paying for another wedding to Jesus.
Why are you, Stella? Why are you laughing? What is it? I want to know. John, oh my God, our blended family is such a success. Oh God, oh, I'm so happy.
So Sophie has gotten an earring, and Shannon's like, are you kidding me? It's not even the right place. Because it's like up on the middle of her ear. And she's like, please say it was a reputable place. And it turns out that one of the new bad kids in the blended family got her to do it. Juliet. She recommended the place.
Yeah, and you know, and Shannon's like, she's doing that thing where she's like, oh God. But you know, later tonight, well, I always knew that Juliet was a bad influence, and I should never have let Sophie be around her. They went to a mall together, piercing pagoda. You know what?
Hot Claire's.
This won't stand. She's starting Baylor, and people are going to think she's a slut with her unorthodox piercing. I will not stand for it. I will not stand for it at all.
Well, John, you name your daughter after the girl who convinced Romeo to kill himself, and then you wonder why she's slipping off to the ear piercing pagoda to ruin my child's life, John!
As far as I'm concerned, the name Juliet only reminds me of the most useless kind of balconies a house could have. Who wants a Juliet?
Ain't that the truth? Hate those balconies, especially indoor Juliet balconies.
Indoor
like,
Oh yeah. We saw that.
You're awake. Glad you could tell everyone in the living room that you just woke up in your stupid, terrible nouveau riche balcony.
I know.
Master.
Oh, we should mention. We forgot to mention at the top of the show that on Monday we are launching Dwell Hello, and that's gonna be on Stitcher Premium. Go to stitcherpremium.com to sign up, and that's it.
Too late, man. You missed it. It's over now.
Well, you mentioned an indoor. Well, you mentioned now. An indoor Juliet, and that triggered me enough. That
oh, I had to it triggered
chill,
you?
Chill to get out of it.
So then they have this kind of goofy son too, John. Now these kids are older. They're like 25, whatever. I don't know. 20s. They're in their 20s. And Joe, the son, is like, yeah, we're going to do the tattoo shop next week. And he's got big old braces, and I just don't trust him. Not because of his braces. That sentence just happened to put those things together. Mm-hmm. I don't trust him, and he has braces. It has nothing to do with his
it's
braces,
not a causality.
But I don't really trust him.
Yeah. Well, they all are J's. I don't know if you noticed it. John is the dad. Joe is the son. Jessica and Juliet. It's a themed family. It's basically like getting a like an outdoor set from Wayfair, right? All the J's all lined up.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really needs to do. I don't think that's enough of a theme to keep a family together. Just using the same first letter. You know?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Big news, Peacock, the streaming service from NBC Universal, is home to your favorite reality shows.
You just go to peacocktv.com for free full seasons of Chrisley Knows Best, Below Deck, Southern Charm, American Ninja Warrior. Whoa!
I mean, come on, people. We are a podcast that specializes in Bravo. So if you want to watch your Real Housewives, your Vanderpump Rules, your Top Chef. I mean, I don't even know what else I have to tell you, okay?
Okay? You can watch all these shows from the very beginning, which is very different because they haven't always been available. So it's really great to have this now. And they have hundreds of hit movies, thousands of episodes of your favorite shows, current shows, timeless classics, timely updates included. Okay!
All right, you know what? Watch for free or upgrade for more on your TV, tablet, or phone, okay?
Go to peacocktv.com to download and start streaming now. Whoa! So, let's see. So, Shannon tells us she's so happy. And every day she's laughing and laughing. And, you know, part of me wonders, though, even though I'm so happy, part of me is left wondering, why is my kitchen sink faucet so darn big? Am I washing baby horses in here? I mean, what is that thing? But also, when is the floor going to drop? In this house, it's pretty cheaply made. Or this relationship.
And I have been falling off my diet a little bit, so I am very concerned about the stability of the floor these days, because, let's face it, I haven't been using that exercise room very much, because I'm so happy and sad at the same time. Ah.
I would not. First of all, Shannon looks great. I do not think she's gained any weight.
No, I don't. I'm just joking that she probably thinks
she has. Just in case, as I sit here, I have to look at myself today, playing with my chin. But I don't think she's lost weight. But gained weight. But speaking of, I could not have my own picture in my workout room either, because it's just like my big face. Just like, yeah. Eat it, Ronnie. Eat it. What are you even doing here? This would be my face looking at me from the wall while I'm on a treadmill. That's my picture. Like, what are you even doing here right now?
I think I'd want a picture of Bethany just looking at me and just passing judgment and angry. Like, what are you doing? Working
Bethany.
Out? Huh? You think you can fix yourself?
Yes. Now that you would work out.
I would work out to that.
You can run, but you can't hide. You know, just keep running.
Yeah. So we also get, when Shannon says she's worried that the floor is going to fall out from below this, or the other shoe's going to drop or whatever, we then get a flashback of, like, Shannon and David's greatest hits of awkwardness, culminating with her cooking something like, well, I've made some quinoa, and he just takes that big old tortilla chip.
Oh my God, the eating aggression from David. Just in 2013, Vicky going, are you happy together? And Shannon, who just looked like such an asshole back then, didn't she? It's like she's in her straw hat that kind of matches the texture of her straw dress.
She always wears an odd straw hat. It comes out once a season.
Yeah, it's like Maris, Niles' wife. Like, that's who she always reminded me of back in those days. I don't think we ever saw her, but she was like the embodiment of Maris. David eating a chip in 2013. And then at the steak restaurant, I feel some tension, where Shannon was so mad that they brought her to a steak restaurant on her birthday while she was on a diet. And then, the chip.
Great. Those were great.
It's really beautiful work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in case you weren't convinced that this is one big happy family.
Guess what? Silly String! No! Oh my god! Silly String in the house for no reason! Oh my god, I just got my hair done today! Ah! Oh, we're such a happy family. Oh! Oh.
Yeah, I hope everything's okay over there. I don't trust a family with Silly String on camera.
Nope.
I just don't, naturally.
Nope.
So then we get a shot of her out the outside of her house, and okay, I'm done with farmhouse style. I'm done with it. I'm officially done with it. I have it. I live in it, and I'm officially done with it, okay?
I like farmhouse style. Stop still. It. I'm still okay with it. I have not been overexposed. I like it. So
I think it's just because I see it every day. I come home, and I'm like, well, there it is. Some ship lap.
I'm going to put a picture
glad
of...
Glad you guys chose the ship lap. That's working out great.
I'm going to put a painting of a farmhouse in my gym. And just run to that. It's farmhouse style, modern farmhouse.
Yeah. I just feel like her house looks like a Long John Silver's, basically. So then we go to. Nice. Yeah. Then we see Kelly's big, stupid gold mustard Jeep thing.
Yeah. It's
coming.
The Mercedes, whatever. And we then hear.
The wagon.
Yeah.
Isn't that a wagon?
Yeah, I think it is. And then we hear Rick. So Kelly's walking along with Rick and. Why am I blanking on her name? Jolie. And we just hear Rick, his debut on Orange County, going, let's go have some fun at the Fundrome or whatever. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah. If I had to sum up Rick's vibe in just a sound, it would be this.
I've intentionally, like, not watched clips of him on Fox News only because... He skeeves me out so much on Instagram. So I was just like, oh no. Oh yeah. He talks exactly as I was expecting to.
Well, he is one of those people who is just how he comes off on Instagram. Yeah. Right? Cause that is how he is. Every time they're on Instagram, they're taking a selfie and he's always angling it in his face. Like,
he's like eye fucking the camera every time. You're like,
yeah.
And he's sort of like, yeah, it's just like, I'm always like, every single time. Oh god, yeah. He's not great.
Ugh. So Kelly's like, Jolie always wanted to come here when she was younger, the fun zone. And Jolie's like, yeah, but I don't really like it anymore because now I'm older. He's like, oh, you are? You're old now? What are you old? What are you old now?
You're stupid. You're a dork. You're a dork. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. So Kelly starts talking about Rick, and she's like, Rick does not seem like he's 60 years old. It's unbelievable. He does not seem like he's 60. I'm like, is that because he's dressed basically in Abercrombie and Fitch?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. With Rick, I feel youthful. Like, I can take on the world. Like, I feel like I'm in that movie Cocoon.
I'm like, you are youthful. You're young. I mean... It's like me being like, you know, when I'm podcasting with Ronnie, I feel like I'm like... A solid 41 years old. It's like, yeah, I am.
Know. God, I'm so lucky to feel 45. So she's like, we can have play arcades. We can have barbecue. And Jolie's like, it smells like shit here. She's like, don't talk like that. You're too young. You're a child.
She's too young to know what that smells like?
No, she said it smells like shit. She's a little fucking kid, goddammit. And if she opens her whore mouth one more time, I'm fucking your shit off. That's it.
So Kelly tells us that Jolie loves Rick and hated Dr. Brian. Hated Dr. Brian. And we saw like a little flashback of Dr. Brian basically saying like, yeah, I don't really know Jolie very much. We don't really talk, whatever. But she loves Rick. So that's good. I'm glad that Jolie likes Rick. And then they all cram onto a Ferris wheel. And Kelly's like, did you know my first kiss was on a Ferris wheel? Did you know my first kiss was on a Ferris wheel? And he's like, how about your second one right now? I'm like, this is that should have been a sweet moment. And I'm like, can we wipe down that Ferris wheel?
But also just the angle that they're shooting at. He's like, how about your second kiss?
On the Ferris wheel.
You like that now.
Your second Ferris wheel kiss. Yeah.
And Jolie says, my first kiss was when I was 8. And Rick's like, what? What the fuck? And Kelly's like, yeah, girl. Fist bump.
Yeah, and Kelly starts telling about how Jolie is basically, you know, she's growing up and she's going through puberty and she has mood swings and all this stuff. And she's like, her hormones are everywhere. She's like, I'm supposed to be premenopausal and I don't even have these sort of mood swings. You're a dork. You're crazy.
Yeah. And then we see a close-up of Jolie just, like, bored, like, looking away. And her necklace, at first I thought it was handcuffs, like, two handcuffs, like, clinking. But I think it was the back of her necklace. But I was like, Jolie, don't let that be a sign. Stay a good girl. I know Kelly's your mother, and no judge would really convict you if you did anything wrong. They'd be like, Kelly's your mother? Okay, you know what? The robbery's fine. The armed robbery is fine. We'll forgive you.
Yeah. So they're at this this beach boardwalk thing, and Kelly's like, oh, look, my psychic's over there. I'm like, I love that Kelly sees like a psychic at the beach boardwalk. She's like, well, you know, I was watching Big and I thought, well, I want to be Big too, so that's my psychic.
Yeah, she told me I was going to get divorced from Michael, and she told me I was going to get a 10-carat diamond ring from a guy. And Jolie's like, that's literally everybody in Newport. Okay, it's not even psychic. It's like every woman in Newport gets divorced and then gets a 10-carat ring from their next husband.
Seriously. So so they go to the psychic, and they're getting a card reading, and Rick is up first, and so he's like, yeah, I play a lot of cards. So the psychic is like, well, the present relationship is powerful, and yes, it is passionate. And he's like, passionate's a good word, right? Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
Passionate. Yeah. Passionate. I'm like, stop.
Yeah, stop. He's so skeevy. And Kelly's like, Rick, in the bed? It's fantastic. He has the body of a 29-year-old. And trust me, I know what 29-year-olds look like, okay? And then she says, like, she's got the my vagina is still working storyline of the season. Because yes. There's always one. And that's hers this season. My vagina is still working. We have sex like 97 times a day.
That's
how he doesn't even put a mask on his penis.
You got Leventhaled.
So the psychic is like, well, what I see here is you found family with this woman. He's like, yes, I did. I found the one. Yeah.
It's not the only thing I found. Her G-spot, which is in her vagina, which I had sex with my penis.
It's like, yeah, he gets it on. He gets it on like Donkey Kong. Which I like that Kelly is still committed to talking like a fifth grader.
I will say this. She makes so many 80s references in this episode. I mean, let's not forget that she just referenced Cocoon. That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's she brings like, up a Kim Basinger soon.
Yes, exactly.
So Jolie's like, can I ask something? When am I going to get a boyfriend? They're like, what are you kidding? You're a baby.
You're stupid. Get out of here. We're going to have sex now. So
then we go to some super crappy apartments with terrible siding, which means Gina's back in the house.
Oh my God. Casita part three. It's Gina's new house. And Shannon shows up with 9 lemons in a bowl as a housewarming gift. And
I mean, what better way to celebrate you than remind you of all my past taglines?
Oh, God. Oh, it's so good. So, Shannon, do you want a tour? I mean, it's not going to be very large, you know? So
and then we
go-
get Shannon's classic tight smile, where she's like, Oh, is this your living room? Where she talks like she's got like a little wooden doll that she's talking at. What do you call that?
Like a dummy?
Yeah, like a dummy. She's like, oh, what is this, your living room?
Wow. I love how you can go upstairs directly from the living room if you need to, just to put one foot here. That's exciting. Okay.
Nice.
That's nice. Oh, okay. Oh, look, the sleeping, or the bed to bedroom ratio is adorably high. Wow, is that 6 beds I see across 2 rooms? Wow.
Yeah, they've got 2 rooms with 3 bunk beds each because there's 6 kids in there now. And she tells us, I have 2 boys and a girl, and Travis has 2 girls and a boy. They're our little gang. It's like the Brady Bunch, but I definitely need an Alice. And I still think her accent's just fake. I don't even believe it at this point.
I'm just waiting for the football to hit her in the nose. I have to say, did you notice anything about this house, Ronnie?
Did I notice anything?
Did you notice anything about this house?
Farmhouse? It's like kind
of about the how about how it looked on the inside?
No, I didn't rec- I didn't
what? That because there was not a single gather sign or gather sign adjacent piece of decor in there. There was not any Home Goods, there was not any TJ Maxx. I was like, something is up. There's not, like, there's literally no little signs, no little tchotchkes. It was just, like, full-on, like, normal decor. And I was like,
well, she said she just moved in. So here's two things. A, she just moved in. She hasn't had time to unpack all that crap yet.
Yeah.
B, she is actually happy now, so she doesn't have to broadcast her fake happiness to the world.
Oh, that's a good point.
Which I think those signs do.
Yeah.
Or C, she actually lives in the back of her car with six children, and Bravo got her this apartment like 5 minutes ago to film it. Because sometimes they do that.
They do. They do. Remember Brandy Glanville back in the day. So Shannon's like, well, is it small? Yes. But they've made it work. They've made it. I mean, I wouldn't say they've made it work. They've made it, you know, it's, you know, if they make it work, if they were trying to show what it's like to live in a hovel, they've made that work.
They've basically made it work. If making it work means you're acting like the cast of Fiddler on the Roof, they've made that work.
If they
I think they need to stop making it work and make it to work, because a job might help this situation.
Okay. If their goal was to recreate the Lower East Side of Manhattan in 1905, wow, they killed it. They knocked it out of the park.
If they meant to recreate the set of Rent, then they have done a good job. Is there heroin around here anywhere?
If they are trying to portray the opening scenes of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, they have done an excellent job.
If they are trying to, if it is Opposites Day and they're trying to recreate the opening of Moving On Up from the Jeffersons, they're doing a great job.
Moving on down. That's what I used to say to David after we'd have a fight. I'm moving on down emotionally. Well, okay. Moving on down.
So Shanna's like, did you know that Bronwyn moved a block from me? So that's great.
So this is also a coincidence that they all just happen to move on to like the same block, like within the same block of each other. I'm confused. There's a lot of fishiness happening.
They really set themselves up well for this pandemic. They created the bubble before the bubble was even needed. So Shannon's like, well, did you know? She lives literally a block from me. I mean, I could literally take one of these lemons with a slingshot and break a window of hers. Not that I ever would. I have not thought about it or practiced or measured the angles that I would have to use for maximum destruction. Not at all. Not at all.
And Gina's like, well, that's good to know because she rubs me the wrong way sometimes. Just saying.
And Shanna's like, ha ha. And Gina tells her that Kelly's engaged, and she goes,
yeah, and she's moving into the neighborhood as well.
My favorite sound effects. First time in this episode.
It's just this, I don't know. It's like, there goes the neighborhood. I mean, even though I just got there myself.
So the plan, Gina's going to go to yoga with Kelly tomorrow, and Shannon reminds us that she and Kelly are in a really bad place, mainly because Kelly had called up Jimbalina when she was mad at Tamara and was like, they're stupid, they're stupid. I forget what she told Jim, but she just was like trying to give him dirt so that way he had a better case against Tamara.
Yeah, and Shannon explains this a million times in the episode, and I just love when Shannon goes into victim mode and she's got the full-on hand karate chops.
It's the fact that she reached out and called the person who was suing me. That was an extra step that she has taken to get at me.
And Gina's like, well, I think a lot of her anger was towards Tamara, and now she'll be in a better place because Tamara's ass is because she's in a better spot now in her life, okay?
Yeah, I think so. Well, we'll see. I mean, she's going to be my neighbor. Oh, I'm so excited. So excited to have Kelly Dodd and Bronwyn as my neighbors, my new tres amigas. I'm so excited.
So, did you feel the energy of Tamara in this episode? I just felt Tamara at home in her new little condo, wherever it is. Just watching this saying over and over again,
oh, guess you need me again, bitch. Why don't you bring me up again?
You know, she was doing that the entire time, and it just made me feel so warm inside.
I know. And then knowing that she probably also cried afterwards, saying, like, it's hard to watch because that's like my friend and I want to be there for my friend. And I can't be. I'm just here with you, Eddie, while you sit there silently eating a salad. And I'm just, it's just me and this decorative anchor I put up on the wall. That's it.
Oh, no. She hates Shannon now. Have you not read all the stuff with Shannon?
No.
So Shannon, she got mad at Shannon because Shannon started following Kelly again because, you know, they have to shoot together. So, of course, they're going to be. It's like the Housewives reset, you know? Like, well, let's be friends again this season for 5 minutes. So then Tamara wrote some aggressive thing to her a long time ago on Instagram and then unfollowed. And then people, when they were doing the press junkets for this season, somebody asked her, like, why aren't you talking to Vicky or Tamara anymore? And she's like, well, I don't even live close to them anymore, so it's really just hard to see someone when you don't even, I mean, where do they even live? I have idea. And so Tamara's like, yeah, she just uses you. She uses people when she needs them. And then she just... Yeah, you're a real good friend to Shannon, Tamara. Mm-hmm. Okay.
She clearly wanted Shannon to quit. So that way it'd be like all three of them, some power move. And Shannon's like, no, I'm going to do it.
Yes, I've got some salmon with cream cheese in its tummy this now, bitch.
So now Kelly's on the phone with Rick, and she's going to be picking up Bronwyn to go see Elizabeth. And I don't know why I said that she was on the phone with Rick. It doesn't matter. So Bronwyn gets in this car, and she's like, the service in here really sucks. Do you use AT&T? Do you have AT&T? And Bronwyn's like, I wish I had an answer to that, but honestly, I was wasted when we signed up for our bill, so I have no idea.
She's like, God, you have no idea. You've never paid a bill in your life. So then they drive and I guess don't talk in the car because there is no scene of them talking at all.
Yep.
We just get to Elizabeth's beach house in Newport, the new girl, Elizabeth.
Yes.
And she's listed as Kelly and Bronwyn's friend, and she's got a dog with a canine vest, I thought it was a police dog vest.
Same. I thought so too. And at first I was like, oh, this is one of those ladies who probably like gets that vest and then gets all sorts of privileges for her dog just because she's like too lazy to like whatever live without that dog to do that thing. And then we find out actually
get
she
on
has,
the airplane. Is that what you're trying to
airplane,
say? Are you trying to make Christine a stand Doty against dogs on the airplane? Because I am that lady.
I know. I know. We've discussed lady this, and it's I love you for all your flaws, Ronnie, and that's okay. I prefer to put Kristen Doty on blast because Kristen does it also. But So at first I was like, oh, she's one of those ladies. But then it turns out she's like a real like dog helper. She has rescue. We'll get into that. But
she's new to it or whatever. But even if she's new to it, hey, listen, you know, I love your new storyline helping dog. If you're only doing that to be on TV, still help a dog.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's lovely. Lisa Vanderpump somewhere so angry. Like, this is my territory, bitch.
I did it first, bitch. So Kelly and Bronwyn show up and Kelly, you know, you look great. And this Elizabeth girl, I think she's a crazy drunk ex-musical theater lady. And so I guess I love her.
Same.
Right?
Same.
I mean, is that a natural response? I was like, I'm in.
At first, I thought she was going to be like a really mean school marm. I don't know why. I just had that thought. I don't know why.
I got Dana Pam from her.
Well, as soon as she started talking, I realized she wasn't that at all. It was just more like something I had just... It was just an idea I had in my head for no good reason. You know, you get an idea, you get a notion, and you just like run with it, and you don't know where the notion came from.
Judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Well, I got a Dana impression of her from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like very Dana to me. Like I married a billionaire. Ooh. So anyway, Kelly says that Elizabeth lived next door to her in her old place, next to that guy Rob.
Mm-hmm.
Who she was is one of her best friends or whatever. So they would always hang out because they lived on the beach or she used to live down there on the beach and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we would just sit on the boardwalk and people were like walking by and like we just flip from one house to another, you know. And, you know, people would walk by and we'd be like, hey, are you thirsty?
And Bronwyn's like, well, you know, Elizabeth is a big personality. She's really fun. She takes no shit from anyone. I mean, she showed up at the Boozy Balboa Bake Club wearing a onesie pajama with a butt flap. I mean, it was outrageous. Outrageous.
And then we see a picture of that, and it's like a group picture at the country club, but she's wearing these weird blue pajamas with the shirt all open, so because she's got like big old boobs, and we've discovered in this episode she loves just wearing shirts unbuttoned all the way with her boobs hanging out. Yeah. Which, hey, listen, I've got big boobs. I don't have the confidence to do that. No. So yeah. I'm all for you having the confidence. I do not.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's with like a couple gay guys, I think, or maybe it's the guys from that we see in this episode, but just partying, you know. And she has jets, she has a beach house. Kelly's like, I mean, her beach house alone is like $6 or $7 million.
Yeah, exactly. So Elizabeth has a boyfriend named Jimmy who made them lunch, and I'm mentioning that because it gets mentioned like 5 different times. Well, my boyfriend Jimmy made us lunch. So is anyone ready for lunch? Because my boyfriend Jimmy made it. My boyfriend Jimmy made us lunch. Anyone? Lunch with by Jimmy? Anyone? And so they're outside, and Kelly goes inside to pee or something, and Elizabeth and Bronwyn are standing together, and it's like warm outside or something, and Elizabeth is holding a champagne bottle, and the cork just flies off, and it just like hits Bronwyn right in the face, and she's like, no, don't worry about it. I just got my face tied, and it's totally numb. Don't worry whatsoever.
That's so this show. And also this relationship with Jimmy, I'm excited to see, because he looks like maybe 15 years old. And then we get some more of his story as we go. There's something fishy here. Not really sure what it is. But I'm intrigued, Orange County. Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued. So Kelly just goes to the bathroom, which is all she does in this episode. She goes to the bathroom in every scene. Yeah. And Elizabeth's like, oh, the bathroom. It's a big square thing in the middle of the house. So she's kind of got that kind of voice. She does.
So then they all gather at outside, and they're eating lunch. Because there's vegan and non-vegan options. And then a teenager bikes by on the bike path, and Kelly's like, I see you peeking, but not speaking. Oh,
how old are you? And he says 18. She's like, perfect, come over here. Hey, I have a child older than you. And Kelly's like, are you horny? And she's like, yeah, I've been horny for 3 years. I'm waiting to finish my divorce, though, before I have any sex with anybody.
Yeah, because Jimmy won't have sex with her until she's officially divorced. It's like a principle thing.
Fishy. No, I'm sorry. That's weird. That's fishy. There, I'm being judgmental and said it, and I don't care, and I'm not taking it back. That's weird. To divorce your husband, it's been a 3-year divorce, and you're not having sex with your boyfriend?
Yeah. Well, guess who is having sex with her boyfriend? Me! Rick and I have sex like 2 times a day, sometimes 3 times a day. Yeah!
Ooh, yeah. She's like, so why are you fucking your teenager? Is it like a psychological thing with him? It's like, yeah, he just wants to do it right. She's like, but you know what? If I didn't have sex with Rick, it would be not a tostada with that one.
So, but the thing is that's really fucked up is that, Elizabeth was with her ex, and he kept on saying he did not want children. So she basically did not have kids with him, and she gave up her dream of having kids. And then he left her and then went with a new girl and had a baby with a new girl. So she's really like, fuck this guy. Fuck him. And by the way, ladies, if your man says he doesn't want to have kids, I say have the kid anyway, because I feel like we hear this story so many times. I've heard it from friends in my own life. It has happened like with 3 of my friends. So just have that
baby.
Well,
I guess you don't want to feel demand, like you don't want to demand a child. Like, you are going to have a child if you want to be with me. But you do, you know, sometimes you have to know when to fold them and know when to hold them. You know what I mean?
Or maybe that, just leave the guy and go with someone who does want to have a child with you. How about that? That's a better idea.
No, not if you have a billionaire. It's not like you just go down to the fucking, you know, Arby's and find a new billionaire. Like, you found a billionaire, you poke some holes in some goddamn condoms. Like, do I have to watch Days of Our Lives for you? Come on.
I know. How many Lifetime movies do have to be produced before you figure out what you're supposed to do next?
It's not a new idea, people. Come on.
Anyway, a guy rolls up with Kelly's crock pot. Where's my crock pot, dude? Where's my crock pot?
So then we go over to Shane and Emily. Oh jeez. He's back. Here they come. The most exciting couple ever is back in Orange County. Shane and Emily. Okay, so the other guy has this energy. But Shane has this energy.
So Shane's big debut for the season is this. Sorry, I just banged my microphone.
Yeah, he got a microphone bang. That was nice.
I flapped so hard. He goes, I was on Facebook, and there was a Little House on the Prairie quiz, and I took it, and I got 100%. And I was like, oh. I was like, is this supposed to be like new nice Shane? Like friendly huggable Shane is the guy who takes... listen, you know what? I'm just happy he passed some test, okay?
Yeah, no shit. I think this is just a continuation of still don't have a job, Shane. Okay? When you have failed the bar exam like three times or whatever. Is it two or three times? It's three times, right? Maybe two.
Three times.
You know, I don't know. When you failed the bar a couple of times. Now listen, I'm too dumb to even know what that stands for. I really don't, actually. Better.
I think the bar is just the bar. The bar association? The bar,
it doesn't mean like better apples realized. Or like it's got to mean something, right? Better attorneys.
Big attorneys reading.
Big attorneys reading. Okay, yeah, I'm too stupid to know what it means. But if you failed that a lot of times, your wife doesn't really want to hear it. Like, hey, I took a little house on the prairie task. Like, great. Glad I worked all day.
But, yeah, exactly. I'm sure I can't wait for you to litigate some cases for Laura Ingalls Wilder.
That bitch could have used a lawyer, let's be honest. She went through a lot, Laura. Did she go blind? Her sister went blind, right? I mean, that was a huge lawsuit right there when the sister, remember that?
I've never seen an episode of Little House on the Prairie.
Are those Olsen witches? Get them. Sue them. They deserve it.
Olsen witches. Any witch. Just sue the witches.
I used to spend the night at this preacher's we were friends with the preacher's family. We didn't even go to his church. Isn't that funny? We were like, oh, have fun. You're a preacher? Nope, still not going to go to your church. We're not supportive like that. But I will spend the night every week. And so I used to watch it with all those gingers. It was like it was a huge preacher fan, like the Cappers.
The Cappers.
I remember. Anyway, it was a lot of Little House on the Prairie. And then I would go home and tell my mom, oh, we watched Little House on the Prairie. What a show, idiots.
The early years of Watch What Crappens, Watch What Prairies. You know, the thing was that Little House on the Prairie reruns were on Channel 11. And growing up, our TV we only had rabbit ears. We didn't have cable. We just had rabbit ears. And so, like, we couldn't get Channel 11. So anything that, or Channel 9. So anything that aired on Channel 9 or Channel 11, which is WPIX and WWOR, I just couldn't see them. So it was like a lot of cartoons I couldn't see and a lot of things like Little House on the Prairie. If it was on Fox, I was set. But if it was on Channel 11, I could not see my Little House on the Prairie. So I really have no frame of reference for it.
Yeah, it was the first time I was like, fuck this person. Laura Ingalls, what a wuss. Am I right, Mom? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you need it, but it's still on TV. That's the good thing about these days, these modern times. Now, Emily, in this season, she's trying to make us think that she's had this big revelation. Like, look at me. I'm happy in my marriage now. Look how happy I am.
Yeah.
But she still looks like she's in the middle of a burp. You know, when you're like burping and you're like, you just kind of lift your chest a little bit and you're like, I'm going to try and make this an inside burp and not like a loud burp. She's like,
well, how many times has Shane just basically like strung her along? Great news, honey. I scored 100% on the Benson
Most like Chandler.
Quiz. She's like, oh, I thought you were going to say the bar.
Yeah. So she reminds us it's still a Housewives show by ordering an espresso martini. Yeah.
And then she does this thing where she tells the waiter, I think she was just trying to angle for like a free dessert. She's like, it's our anniversary. Yeah, 11 years. Yeah, can you believe it? Yeah, it's been 11 years. We did it. Yeah. The waiter's like, I don't care.
I know. The waiter is the one person who cares less than the both of you that it's your anniversary. He's like, it's our anniversary, by the way. He's like,
All right, settle down, Tony. So she's like, so she's like, well, we probably hit rock bottom last year, because it was very evident to the entire nation that we have a loveless marriage. Yeah. But you know, the last 6 months, ever since Shane has found BuzzFeed, wow, what a turnaround. So many quizzes.
Yeah, he's like, how have I been the last 6 months, honey? What's my report card? It's like, you're very Laura Ingalls. Seriously, great job. You've been amazing. He's like, well, what does amazing mean? She's like, kiss me. He's like,
ugh. He's like, ugh.
BuzzFeed says that I'm the Beyonce of emotional fulfillment. What do you think about that?
So they talk about how last year she was in such pain. And I was like, what was her thing last year? It was the hips. The hips. I forgot she had hip surgery.
The hips don't lie or make for compelling TV. So, but then this is what I hated. She's like, well, it was my fault because I didn't recognize that he's a great dad and a great husband. And then coming out of surgery, I felt like a whole new life. And he was there for me. He held my hand in a photo. And that was really meaningful for me.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. No, your husband's still an asshole. And you can't just come back on TV and say it's your fault. I mean, what are you doing?
He doesn't get like bonus points because he did like the bare minimum of what a husband should do after his wife comes out of surgery, which is like tend to her and be loving. That should be like part of the deal. That is part of like the base model. Okay, that is not an upgrade.
Yeah. So they start talking about. He's like, "How are your friends?" And she tells him Kelly's getting married on 10/10/2020, which just happened. She did, in fact, get married on 10/10/2020. And she's like, but I don't even know if it's real. Like, I need to know. And he asks about Bronwyn. And she says that Bronwyn got a new house, so she has to go over there and see it. And he's like, yeah, she's probably real humble about it, too.
King of Snarkasm!
So Emily is like, well, you know, I like Bronwyn. I mean, she's a good person. It's just that she drinks so much. Like, when you're around her, you can't even have a conversation with her.
I was getting excited because this is one of my favorite Real Housewives tropes, is that when the cast starts gaslighting someone for drinking too much, even though they all drink so much. And I was like, oh, it's happening to Bronwyn. But obviously, by the end of the episode, it's like, oh, it's not going to be like that. Okay. I was excited.
Yeah, this is a legit one.
Also,
then we see clips of Bronwyn just being wasted all over the place.
By the way, we cannot miss Shane's biggest King of Snarkasm moment, which is that he said, most people that I speak to, if I say there's a relationship problem, I advise them to get their hips checked out.
King of Snarkasm!
Sorry, when he gives us these jewels, we cannot leave them there.
So Emily, and I kind of agree with this, she's like, look, when someone's that wasted all the time, you can't have a close 100%. relationship, because it's like they don't remember the next day. It's like, what are you going to talk about, you know? And I get that, and I've been dangerously close to being that. So
you're not having a dialogue with someone. Then it's usually when someone's drunk, they're usually talking at you, you know.
Yeah.
With a lot of saliva.
I kind of get both sides of that. So she's just like kind of over that. And basically they say, I mean, they're basically still extremely boring. They're as boring as the steak and French fries dinner that they had at Antonella's or whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah, exactly. So now Shannon walks across the street to Bronwyn's new house. This is also a subtle trope we have in The Housewives, which is that when they live close to each other, we get scenes of them walking to each other's houses or driving, like in case of Kyle and Dorit, just like driving a block. So Shannon goes into Bronwyn's house, like, hey neighbor, wow, look at this house. It's not an urban farmhouse. How about that? That's strange. How odd.
And Sean's like, is traffic bad, neighbor? Traffic bad.
Yes! Oh,
I see we're still going with the statement necklace, Sean. That's great.
Yeah, is there with the dad joke right away?
Yep.
I wish I was still in L.A. because I'd left my necklace that he gave us there.
Oh, I think I have mine in that closet.
My black necklace. Yeah, I need my black statement necklace from Sean.
Yeah, because Sean and Bronwyn both came to the Crappies this year, and Sean gave us each one of those statement necklaces that he has.
Yeah, or like seeing eye or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So Bronwyn's like, well, you know, I just love this house. I mean, we just needed a bigger house because it is so hard, you know, not having an 8,000 square foot home. So that was really difficult for us. So then we get a tour of the home.
Which is ridiculous. At first, it starts off nice. At first, it starts off like, all right, you know, there's the living room. I love the living room with like the brown, like the wall. And there was like the, whatever you call those ceilings. I thought it was like a cool look, a little different than what we normally see. But then things start spiraling out of control with excess.
And bad kitchen. Like if this was on HGTV, it would be like, it needs a gut. Like, the kitchen needs a gut. I feel like the lady, really the lady from any HGTV show would walk in there and go, hey, I've got an idea. Why don't we open this up? Let's take down this wall and then this wall.
The kitchen didn't really register on me. It didn't offend me. I just thought, and nothing
it
really
was an
offended.
L-shape. It's an L-shape.
Oh, there was a big
countertop.
L. Yeah.
It's just in a huge house. It looked like a very small kitchen for being in a huge house.
Right. And then like outside, there was like a pirate ship. And then there was like a volleyball net. And then there was like a meditation room, and then Jenna goes, oh, well, look, you can eat outside. Wow. But then there's like a movie theater, and then there's like a nightclub, and that's where I was like, what? And there's like a night, and she's like, yeah. And you know what? It's all black lighting. So when the lights are off, it says cheers to bad choices. I'm like, okay, I understand you needed to get more space because you have a billion children. But, like, if some of that space is because you also wanted to incorporate a nightclub into your house, if you can buy it, then mazel tov.
It's a rough place to start your sobriety storyline, for sure.
Yeah, right? Agreed.
And if you have seven children, here's what you need. A panic room with a kitchen in it, okay? You need a panic room with an 80-inch TV and a fucking kitchen. That's what you need.
And let's just, a point counterpoint, let's just remind everyone that Gina has six children cooped up in those two bedrooms in that townhouse. So, wow. It's a study of contrasts.
Get a job. You know what I mean? So, let's see here. Gina is talking to Kelly. So we get a clip. We get a cutbacks back and forth scene. Bronwyn is with Shannon in her new house, and then Gina and Kelly are talking. So Gina's like, have you ever been to hot yoga? And Kelly's like, I've been kicked out three times.
That, like, it just makes so much sense. Like, of course, Kelly's gotten kicked out of hot yoga three different times. It's so hot in here. Why don't we turn on the air conditioner? It's stupid. It's hot.
No one's even hot here. It's not ugly yoga. Why don't they call this not hot yoga? You're all ugly.
Does anyone mind if I fart? Anyone mind if I fart in hot yoga?
So Gina's like, yeah, I gotta get my butt back in shape. I've been eating wheels of brie, all right? I put on some Love Chub. It's like the freshman 15. You get there, you're excited, and before you know it, you look down, you got a situation to handle, and I got a situation to handle.
It was very relatable, actually. And then, I mean, like, listen, quarantine, that's although I guess I wouldn't say that I'm happy with coronavirus, but I will say that I have been eating my feelings of pizza.
Aren't they delicious?
I have delicious feelings, by the way.
I mean, I understand God made us to be sensitive feeling creatures, but why did he have to make our feelings so delicious? I mean, they are so good. I've never tasted feelings that are bad.
My feelings have been just like off the charts delicious. So five star. Like, it's like a 3-star Michelin feelings, you know?
I know. Delicious. I opened my Uber Eats I opened my credit card the other day, and I haven't bought anything because where are you going to go? What are you going to buy? Yeah. You know, like, there's nothing to even buy anymore. And so I opened my credit card just to see what all these charges were. Because I'm like, where's all this money going? Uber Eats. My feelings are very expensive.
Yeah, I've been out of control. Yeah. So anyway, so they go, they do their hot yoga. And then and Kelly's like, well, this is child's play. You know, what I do in the bedroom with Rick, I mean, that's compared to this. Whoa.
You want to talk about down dog?
Woof, woof.
So then they go shopping a little store together, and they don't seem to really have much to say to each other. Like, Kelly's just completely ignoring Gina and just looking at pants. And so Kelly's like, well, I partied with Bronwyn. She seems to be okay. And Gina's like, she just drinks too much. I'm sorry, but she drinks too much.
Yeah. And Kelly's like, that's true. I mean, she came down to Miami for Rick's 60th birthday, and like, she was on a whole other level there. It was like Blind Date with Kim Basinger. Which was a real specific reference, which I did appreciate. I'm not going to lie.
I had to really dig for that. I was like, what? What was that? I do remember her getting like really waste. Was it just that she was so nervous to be on the date?
I think that's what it was. I actually never saw it, but it was like a big hit. And I think it was that like she was like, I think the idea of it was that she was like chill, but then when she drank, when she drank, she just became wild. It was this crazy date. I don't know. I'm sure it'll
be a
reboot.
With Bruce Willis, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Shannon and Bronwyn at home. Okay, so we cut back to Shannon and Bronwyn. And Shannon's like, well, what are you drinking? Water? That's the thing about these shows. They say they're always calling each other out for being alcoholics. But if someone doesn't drink in one scene, they treat it like, oh my God, you're not having a drink?
Yeah, ew. They're like lizard people from that show V.
Oh, well, I shouldn't be a little concerned about that.
So, Bronwyn's drinking water. Shannon, by the way, is wearing this baseball cap that just says, hashtag sketch. And I don't know what she's trying to promote, but it looked ridiculous. And Shannon's talking about how,
well, you know, I haven't had any alone time with John. I mean, like, you know, I don't want to move in until, like, I know for sure that it's the right thing because I do not want to put my children through that. Okay, but Gina, on the other hand, well, Gina and Travis, they already moved in. Wow.
Into a condo. Wow, they have poor morals and poor. Just in general, poor.
And Bronwyn's like, wow, six kids in a condo townhouse? I mean, that sounds like a really, really bad choice. Yeah, guess what? Being poor is a bad choice, okay? I don't think any of us are happy that we chose that. I love when rich people are like, oh my God, a townhome, really?
Well,
oh God, what a choice.
Maybe she was thinking, like, she should save up money and they get a bigger place before they cram all the kids in there. But then again, maybe it's their way of saving money is moving in together.
I don't know. So she's like, gross, basically. She's like, gross.
Yeah.
So Shannon's like, yeah, there's a boy bunk bedroom and a girl bunk bedroom. She's like, yeah, sounds awful. So then back with Gina and Kelly, Gina's like, it's crazy how me and you and Shannon all met someone at like the same time. Like, it's going to be like my forever person. Like, we're all like that. It's like going to be my forever person. Yeah, because you always say that about everybody you guys meet.
Yeah, literally everyone. And then we go back. Yeah. And then we go back to Bronwyn's place. And she's like, well, Bronwyn's like, you know, well, Kelly's moving into the neighborhood. And Shannon goes, I heard the person I considered a friend reached out to someone who was suing me. And now she's moving in my neighborhood. I'm still a happy person. So happy.
And then back with Kelly. Kelly's like, Shannon just likes to create chaos. You know what I like to create? Boning with Rick. I'm fucking him right now in my head. And Gina's like, well, you know, she was just real sensitive about you. You know, you calling that Bellino guy. She's like, she was influenced by Tamra. So whatever.
Yeah, which is true. It's 100% true. By the way, this all reminded me that, like, I really liked last season of Orange County. I feel like people did not like it, and I thought it was so good. And looking back on it, I was like, that was a good season. I'm sorry, it was a good season.
Yeah. So we see clips of that with Tamra and Vicky just going on attack with Kelly, who's just so innocent, guys. I mean, Kelly never does anything to anybody. I don't know why they would go after her.
Never.
Yeah. And so it's Tamra's going, scuss. Sucks a duck for Kelly Dodd. That's what you do best, bitch. And Vicky going, fuck you, Kelly Dodd. Fuck ya.
So Gina's saying that Shannon's in a really good place right now, and John has been good for her, and like hopefully everyone can come together. And we go back to Bronwyn's house, and Bronwyn's like, well, Shannon, if Kelly were over here, would you come over here and talk to her? And Shannon's like, well, you know what? You need to say, do you want Shannon to come over? Because I'll come, but I'm not going to come in and walk into friggin' fire. Maybe some fireball. I'll have some fireball. Or some hot tamales. I could kill for a hot tamale right now. But I will not walk into fire. Fireball.
So now we get an Elizabeth scene, our first big Elizabeth solo scene. So Elizabeth is driving in a car, or being driven in a car, by her brother and some gay guy with a crazy plastic face. He's
Tony.
It's crazy. Okay, yeah. The Orange County gay face out there is not messing around. Some nipping, some tucking, some fillering. And this girl, Elizabeth, she's in the button-down shirt with her boobs all out, and yep. It says, Chanel, because... She's like a tacky housewife. Now, this is making me think, is she getting that much money in her divorce? Because I don't feel like real rich people wear that many labels, right? Because she's got the Chanel, and then she's got the big LV belt on as well.
Nouveau
and
Riche.
It just seems...
It's Nouveau Riche, right?
Yeah.
And she's Nouveau Riche because she even tells us, she says that she grew up, she was born or like originally like just outside the Ozarks, and she's like, I grew up garbage can poor. We were country hillbillies pulling up in a Pinto with accents and big buck teeth.
Yeah. And her gaze like, oh my god, like all of a sudden you're gonna get an accent again. And she's like, I mean, the minute I realized money got me out of poverty, I never stopped working again. Like, wow, what a
bombshell. I like what a breakthrough idea.
I'm so glad you figured that out.
I'm so glad you figured out that the way to get rid of a lack of money is to earn money.
God, you know, once I figured out that in order to not be hungry, I needed to eat things, started gaining some weight back.
So she wants to open up a rescue center for dogs, and she tells us about this beautiful dog that she has named Coda, who is the light of her life. Although it's kind of funny because Coda means it's sort of like the end. So, but she was really depressed after her divorce, and then the dog gave her purpose, which was really lovely. Coda is gorgeous. What a gorgeous dog. I love a husky.
And her brother's like, well, you haven't talked about giving up Edge music yet. She's like, I mean, I'm just burnt out on it. That's what it is. My doctor said, you better calm down. You're going to have a heart attack. I have a couple partners of mine that can buy it, and I would have a nice cash balance, but I just can't sell it till after my divorce, or he gets half.
My ex's Burnt Bodell. During college, I started this dinner theater cabaret. Excuse me. I'm the cabaret star around here, okay? I don't care if you married Burt Bodell or Barbara Mandrell. I'm the cabaret star.
Get in the back, Burt Bacharach, all right? There's a new countess in town. Happy birthday to you.
I cannot believe that cabaret has like raised its ugly head on Orange County now also.
Yes, and this is when I was like, love her, yes. Love her. Okay, during college, she started a dinner theater cabaret, and I did that here in Austin. My mother and father had a restaurant, and I started cabaret night, and I would sit on top of a grand piano and sing. It was so fun, and so, of course, I love this girl.
Yeah.
And she saw a billionaire, and he used to come in all the time, Bernd, actually,
Bodell.
Is how you pronounce
Bernd,
it, Bernd.
Bernd Bodell.
Yeah, Bernd Bodell. Bernd. And so he would come in all the time because apparently he loves some show tunes. But, you know, billionaires can do whatever the fuck they want to.
Yeah. Okay?
And he sat in there, and so she was like, he's a billionaire. So I just walked up to him and sang Big Spender to him, and boom, I got a husband. Now, why doesn't that... Do you know how many times I've sang Big Spender to people? Where's That's my true. Husband?
This is true. Sometimes when we were doing our live shows pre-pandemic, you would actually, I feel like, play some refrains of Big Spender during our sound checks.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple weeks ago,
Ba, 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 ba. Well,
it's the best.
Bernd Bodell. Wow. So she was like, well, he was smart. He flew his own airplane. We would fly to the Bahamas. We'd go to Skibo Castle in Scotland. I don't even know if Skibo Castle is a real place. But we went to it wherever it was, and we'd go skeet shooting. Sometimes he would line up all the pheasants, and he wouldn't just shoot them. He'd put them in little hats and make them do a chorus line, and then he'd shoot them. That's how rich he was. Even the peasants listened. Since I said peasants, I meant pheasants.
I lost myself being married. I mean, it influenced how I walked, how I talked, how big my boobs were. I was like, oh, so he pulled a Jax on you and made him get those things. Well, that was a good purchase. Mm-hmm. I love those boobs.
Yeah.
So he was like, she says, I was just a bobblehead wife. I just knew that with him, I could never be the smart, intelligent entrepreneur I was meant to be. I was always going to be the billionaire's wife, and I could not stand it.
So I decided I was going to reinvent myself. Goodbye, theater club, and hello, new, non-dramatic Elizabeth.
And now I'm opening a dog dinner theater.
She is slowly heading into like Savannah, Georgia with her accent. And then I said I will not
be. I know it's gonna take some time, but she's pretty unique, and I love that she's gonna have a voice for us to do one day. It's not gonna be
I'm just doing your
today,
voice
guys,
of her.
Okay.
I liked your interpretation of her, so I'm like, I'm gonna do it too.
Yeah, but then you do it, and then I do yours, and then by the time we're done, it's like, and I'll say it on the balcony of the...
I say it, hello, big spender.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could tell you was a man of distinction. And that's just going to be Leanne Locken, like, doing lines from Southern Charm.
I know. We'll workshop it. We never said we're good with our voices. Okay, so now we're back at Bronwyn's.
So Bronwyn's. Yes.
Yeah. So
back to Boring Town. Back to someone who doesn't have a dinner theater.
Way to like open up a nightclub and not a cabaret in your house, Bronwyn. Really,
yeah,
missed,
Bronwyn.
Missed your opportunity there. I mean, where are like the velvet curtains and like little bistro tables? Okay.
Yeah.
So so Kelly comes over. This is, by the way, a different Bronwyn scene. We're not the same one. Different one. So Kelly comes over.
But Bronwyn's like, fuck it, we're shooting at my house today, and we're going to shoot at my house tomorrow, and then we're going to shoot at my house again. Hope you like it.
Yeah, pretty much. So Kelly and Bronwyn have the same, like, they have matching tops and bottoms. They have the same sort of Versace thing, like a yellow patterny thing, paisley-ish. So it's like, hilarious. And Kelly's like, let's have some shots. You want a shot? You want to have a shot? And she's like, I'm actually have some water right now. She's like, okay, you stupid face. I'm going to have a shot.
So Kelly's like, yeah, I mean, she drinks sometimes, but I mean, she has 7 kids. I mean, why wouldn't you drink?
Yeah.
So then Bronwyn has arranged a meeting with Shannon. So Shannon comes over.
Do you notice that Shannon had a USC flag out on her? She had a USC flag, but USC did not give the rights over. So the USC part was blurred out. I was like, man, that's harsh when even USC won't even allow you to show their logo on a show.
I know. They've been represented so well on this show. University of Spoiled Children. Oh,
well, you're stupid. You're a stupid school. Yes.
So she comes over and Shannon's just like, oh, howdy, Kelly.
I'm so happy I could be here. It's Kelly. Wow, what Kelly am I going to get today? What crazy Kelly? Wow.
So
Kelly done. So Kelly's gotten her a present, and it's a stack of Uno cards. It's a box of Uno cards. And Shannon's like, all right, that's funny. Ah, that's funny. Because there's only Uno Amiga left. I see. That's very funny.
That's very funny. And Kelly's like, well, it's actually 2 players, so it's actually like, you have to have Dos Amigas. And Shannon's like,
well, you know what? There was thought in that. That's an olive branch. It's a gesture, and I'm appreciative of it. Because if I'm not, I have nothing to do this season, so I better get on board with the Kelly train, okay? I'm on board! Woohoo!
So their makeup session is so Real Housewives. Shannon's like, Kelly, I've got to say, what I was actually upset about is that a step was taken to reach out to the opposing side, and you and I had multiple convos about how devastating it was. And Kelly's like, whoa, we didn't have multiple conversations about me feeling ganged up on by the 3 of you? And it was like continuous accusations. I got beat up on continuously. I mean, I wasn't hurting you.
But I was hurt. So I'm explaining why I was hurt by you, the person who hurt me. That's all.
Yeah, but like they were saying that I broke someone's hand and that I threw my mother down the stairs. I mean, it was relentless, okay? It's like, but I was hurt too, Kelly. But you're talking about you and I'm talking about me.
And Kelly's basically like, the problem with Shannon is that she can't take accountability for her actions. She never can. She never can.
Yeah, like, I mean, if she could just get out of that bullcrap in her head that I'm the villain, then we'll be fine. And so Shannon's like, well, listen, there are certain words and certain actions that can be done so low, that create so much more damage than they should. So as a friend, if I did something like that, I would want someone to point it out to me. And Bronwyn's like, yeah, she was just trying to help.
Yeah. And then I think at this point is when Kelly's like, I gotta go pee.
She doesn't even say anything.
She just walks up.
She just gets up and walks away. And they're like, ah.
And then we listen to it. And then we listen to the pee. And we're like listening and watching Shannon and Bronwyn just stand there like,
Well, I guess I have my homework ahead of me. Gotta learn the rules to this Uno game. Thought it was a tarot card set, but it turns out it's just a bunch of numbers. and an occasional R and an S.
They just stand there, listen to her pee, listen to her wash her hands, and then Kelly comes back out, and she's just looking at them like... So she sits back down, and Shannon's like, well, now I think it's very nice we're all here, and you and I had a special relationship, Kelly, and I'm flawed, but I do not attack people's character, and I'm sorry if you feel that.
Which is so Housewives. And Kelly's like, well, my intentions weren't to hurt you, and I'm sorry if you felt that I was trying to hurt you, which I was not. So I apologize for doing nothing wrong. Absolutely to you.
She can't take accountability.
So Shannon's like, you know what? I'm in a very positive space right now. I don't know if you saw, but there was a crazy silly string party at my house because we all are having so much fun. We're so happy. We're so happy. So I just want to keep on rolling on the happy wave. And I don't want to fight. I hate fighting. So let's just play some Uno. Uno!
Yeah, so they just decide, okay, let's just, you know, it's the beginning of a new season. There's no one else here, so I guess we're stuck together.
Yeah, Brahma's like, well, we can play Uno at your house, and we can eat at your house, and we can dance the night away at my house.
Yeah, I think we'll probably leave off that last destination. Okay, great, great.
So then Gina is in the car with Travis, her new boyfriend, and he's just kind of like a bearded, I don't know, dude. He's kind of like a vanilla guy.
He's like, fine. He's fine.
Yeah. And she's eating a sausage muffin in their car on the way to the lawyer. So they go see the lawyer and basically talk about Matt. They're kind of trying to make up and co-parent the kid, but they have to get rid of this restraining order or whatever she has against Matt so that they can move on with co-parent or something. I don't know. It was like real law and really sad. So I was like,
It wasn't really sad. It just was not that interesting. So basically it's just, yeah, like they're co-parent despite everything. They're co-parenting, and Matt and Travis have been respectful to each other, and they're just trying to... She doesn't want to take away her kid's dad from them, so they're just, like, moving forward and finding ways to make things work, okay? So, now guess what? Let's go back to Bronwyn's house.
Hey, let's have another scene at Bronwyn's.
Going back to Bronwyn's house, and this time it's Emily who shows up. And so Bronwyn's like, I got some champagne for you. And Emily's like, oh, I wish everyone said that every time I walked into a room.
Apparently Laura Ingalls doesn't really like celebrating people with champagne. Lucky me.
I figured that out when I got a 2 out of 30 on the Little House on the Prairie quiz. And Shane and I have been fighting ever since.
So Bronwyn tells us that she's tried to make a connection with Emily, but they're just not close. And she purposely cut her out last year, even though Emily is really the only truth speaker in the whole group. And she just wasn't ready to hear the truth. So she sits Emily down and she's like, oh, my God, I'm nervous right now. And I know we're not close. And my heart is racing. Oh, my God, I'm doing this wrong. Oh, my God. How do I do this? And basically she tells her. Remember last year when you called me an alcoholic? It's like, well, instead of taking it to heart, I pushed you away and I got mad at you. And I came up with reasons to be mad because it was easier than dealing with it. And Miami was really bad. It was really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And Emily's just sitting there with her glass of wine, like staring at her like, why am I here? You better make this good.
I know. I didn't even realize that Bronwyn and Emily had a thing. But Bronwyn tells us that when she was in Miami, she didn't stop drinking for 4 days. And that, like, everyone would finish up their night, but she kept on drinking, and she would drink every hour. She would start to shake. She could start getting the shakes. And so she would do a shot to stop the shakes. And she thought she was probably going to die. And then she tells about how, like, the first time she had a drink was when she was 14 and she was living with her grandfather. So, you know, I probably had some abandonment issues from my mom or dad, probably my mom. I would say probably mostly my mom. Yeah. So I just want to wedge that. Just mom, just want you to know that this is you. This, it's you.
You
did this. Okay. Moving forward.
Yeah. Just get some mom in there.
Just sneak up.
But basically she realized like she's an alcoholic cause she's hiding booze from her husband and she's refilling alcohol bottles so she wouldn't get caught and stuff. And, you know, she's She was avoiding feeling things and like going through feelings.
Don't be putting on like Blistex or whatever while we're talking about her alcoholism.
You know what? Like, you're when like, we start talking so... about self care and like taking care of yourself, I was like, my lips are so chapped.
You're like, yeah, so she's just like hiding booze from her husband and like, I don't know, she's sort of like at a low point in her life and like almost everything. Just hilariously. Listen,
Bronwyn's alcoholism storyline really inspired me to keep care of my lips. Keep good care of my lips. So it was really hard for her, and she was feeling things and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So Emily's just looking at her, and she's like, so, and I just, you got to love Emily because she's smells bullshit. And I'm not saying this is bullshit from Bronwyn, but Emily is waiting for some bullshit. She's on a housewives show. She's like, okay, so this girl's just going to sit here and give me some bullshit. Mm-hmm. And so she doesn't let her. She goes, so is your plan not to ever drink again? Like getting her to say, like,
yeah,
it's like you have to make a stand right now on camera that you're never going to drink again. I was like, damn, Emily. And Bronwyn does.
She does.
You know, she's like, I don't think that I ever can drink again, you know? And it's scary. That scares the shit out of me.
It was actually, I thought, a pretty powerful scene, actually, as much as we're joking. I thought it was pretty powerful that, like, she was very upfront, like, I can't drink, and I'll never be able to drink again. And she's like, forever just seems so long. Like, that's crazy. And then she talks to us she's addressing us the camera, and she goes, you know, for the first time in my life, I can say my name is Bronwyn, and I'm an alcoholic. And then the show just ends. I was like, I actually thought it was, like, really, really powerful. And, yeah. You know, totally, you know, bravo to her, no pun intended, but bravo to her for, like, you know, like getting to that point of like realizing what she had to do to help herself.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, overall this episode, I was shocked that I enjoyed it. I mean, we've gone for an hour and a half pretty much.
I know.
Here,
I thought I was gonna be so angry. I thought I was gonna be like, oh, fuck these problematic women. And I was like, oh, it was fine. For
well,
now.
As long as they leave that, you know, most of it off the show. I mean, we'll see where it goes.
I don't think
now
it's
we're going to enter COVID season, where I'm sure we'll have plenty to rage about. But for this one, I was pleasantly surprised because all the bloggers have been going crazy. Like, this is the worst shit I've ever sat through. And I'm like, what show are you used to watching? Like, go back and watch the first couple of seasons of Orange County. Literally nothing happens ever. So.
And Orange County's always had awful people. Always had awful, awful people. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we tune in. Because we are fascinated to see how these people just go through their lives being the way they are. I mean, that is like a thing. That's why we tune in. One of the reasons why we tune in. And so we can't all of a sudden be like, oh, wow, they're awful. It's like, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, they're still awful. Yeah. At least they are. So everybody, thank you so much for being here. Guess what, Ben?
What?
We never pressed go live on the video.
Well, that's fabulous. That would be my fault. Well, this is a great video. This and you know what actually sucks is that this video, there was all sorts of really fun visual stuff because we were out of control with our hand movements and stuff. Wow.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, everybody.
That's my fault, everyone. That's my fault.
It happens. We've been pressing a lot of buttons today. We've been sorry, everybody. We'll do our bonus on video.
Yeah, we'll do the bonus on video. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, everyone.
Well, next week we'll be back on video for Orange County for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, sorry, everyone.
Well, thanks for being with us, everybody. Welcome back to Orange County. Come check out our other shows. And we will be back tomorrow with our Kim D interview. And that is on camera. That so you is. Can come watch that one if you're on Crappens On Demand. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
We're still waving anyway. We're still going to wave.
Yeah.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
Shannon better than Kyle Richards.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
The Wyndham beneath our wings, it's Joe Wyndham.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.